Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Lily and Robin on How I Met Your Mother. I mean, that was honestly the ultimate queer bait, but I fell for it.
I fell for it too. I got suckered into watching one episode.
I've watched the entire series twice, and it always kind of gets to me, but that was one of the things that really drew me in, because it's very straight, very white. I was, the whole time, I was like, Robin and Lily, and then it doesn't hurt that Gloria Calderon not only wrote for it, but she was actually in a couple of episodes.
What? Really? Look at this information.
What? I was rewatching it, and like I saw her, and I was gonna, you know, I've met her a couple times now. So when I saw her, and I was like, oh, that's her, that's Gloria. Like, I know her. So that was pretty fun. What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? So, what the fuck? Did you watch that video, This Is America?
Only maybe 30 times or so.
Only 30 times.
That's it. I've only learned that entire, you know, choreography. Like, that's it.
Oh my god, guys, so Donald Glover recently released a This Is America video and song.
They know. Everybody knows.
Who doesn't? If you don't know, you need to learn, because this shit is. I don't even know where to start. Where do you want to start? Like, with the actual lyrics?
Listen, like, we don't even have to talk about it. Honestly, you have to go watch it a few times. And, you know, for me, before I even saw it, I saw, like, you know, information about it. They were like, you know, it's proving such a point, and it's so fucking layered. It's basically saying this is America, like, this is the distraction that you have, and then behind the scenes there's all this chaos, and we don't see it the first time around. So that's what's so interesting about the video.
Dude, what was crazy for me is what drew me automatically in, because of who I am, is all I saw was like a SZA like still from the video, and I was like, yes. I'm watching this now. And then since then, I've just, guys, it has SZA at the end. Like, what the fuck? She's supposed to be like Lady Liberty, and I get it. Like, she's a black woman, and there's just so much there, you guys. You don't, like, SZA's in it. Done. I'm done. That's it. That's all I need.
It's a great video, and it came at such a great time, or like, I guess that's a weird way to say it, but it's like, it's so timely. I don't know, it's like, how else to put it.
I mean, I feel like everything's been coming out at the perfect time. Like, you know, a lot of people want to focus their attention on negative artists, and we're not going to name him because fuck KW, but you know, Janelle Monáe is
more like KK at this point.
All of the K's, y'all are canceled, except for the ones that listen to us. We love you. But if you're not a celebrity with a K in your name, we love you. But like, you know, Janelle Monáe, Donald Glover, like, I feel like it's just the art that's coming out right now is beautiful, and we need it, and it's healing, and I fucking love it. And oh my god, better news. Oh my god, thank Maite.
Yes.
The best news.
You gotta
break it.
You gotta
Brooklyn
tell me.
Nine-Nine got renewed.
Oh my god.
On okay, NBC.
I was like legit like experiencing some fucking sadness. Like, I think I went to sleep at 8 p.m. the night that the cancellation got announced, dude. Like, I was just like, what the fuck? Like, went to sleep at like 8:30. I was just like, I can't deal with life right now. And then I was tweeting, you know, you saw me tweeting from like both CYC account.
I did.
Shout out CYC podcast on Twitter.
And for
my personal account. And I was hashtagging it, you know what I mean? I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go down without like no fight at all. I was, you know, hitting my retweets and stuff. And then the next day, you know, I started seeing Guillermo del Toro, Mark Hamill, like, big, huge names.
Fucking
like,
legends.
Legends, yeah. Talking about this show, and I was just like, you know, especially having been at Collecticon, where Stephanie Beatriz was one of the best parts of it. And, you know, I was so excited about her talking about all the great things that Brooklyn Nine-Nine is doing. And then hearing this news, it was just very... It was very shocking for me, but seeing how the community came up, it's just proof. It's proof that, you know, there's power in the numbers of POCs and people that support us. Like, it's I'm so happy, like I can't believe it that NBC fucking picked this shit up. Like they're like, hey, I got you. And I'm not even the biggest NBC person, but you know what, now I'm standing. I have decided to stand, like I'm here for it,
dude. Like I always wondered why it was on Fox. Like when it premiered, I was like, what the fuck is it doing on Fox? Like this shit's weird. Like it always belonged at NBC. Like it never belonged at Fox. Like fuck Fox. And you know what show they renewed? That trash ass show that used to come on after Cristela on Fridays. The one with Tim Allen.
It's obviously so important to us that we don't even fucking know the name of it. We don't care about these shows. Let me fucking tell you.
Them.
They renew these shows for no reason, and I'm so glad that Brooklyn Nine-Nine is still gonna be on air, still in people's faces, still has two Latinas in the lead, still has two
queer
black
one.
Men in the lead, a queer woman, a queer black man.
Man.
And yes. You know, and like, and a bunch of people that support them to no end. So, you know what? Fuck you to every single person that was like, it's fine, let's cancel this. Thank you, NBC.
Yes, 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 yes. And then what else has been happening? Vita came out, and it's today is Sunday that we're recording, and it's second episode should be out by now. So I'm super hype on this queer Latinx representation. Like,
I'm hype on the show. We are planning an episode on this. Obviously, this is like super up our alleys. We're gonna continue to support until we figure out exactly what we want to do as far as an episode goes. So stay tuned.
Yes,
we aren't sure yet. We're working on some good shit. We're gonna make it the best episode we can for you guys, and because Vita deserves it.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yes, we got to. It's amazing. And so I guess Mother's Day just passed. Happy Mother's Day to literally all of the moms, whether you raised someone or gave birth to someone, or it doesn't matter. We love you. Thank you for existence and life. Like, we appreciate you.
On my side, man, shout out to those good moms that stick with their kids. You know, I know that there's a lot of people that aren't there for you sometimes. And so just shout out to those women who are doing their damn best, you know what I mean? But honestly, like, super shout out to like our moms. Specifically today we are gonna be thanking your mom, because your mom is freaking dope, and I'm really excited to hear more about her and about her story. And obviously I've had a lot of questions, and this is my chance for them to get answered through a little interview by you.
Yeah, so today we did a little interview with my mama bear, and we got some insight into some things, and we drank some Tampico and some Malibu, and we got a little, you know, we got a little smoozy. And I guess I want to introduce it, and I hope you guys, you know, want to hear some history on some Mexican culture, some old history, so at least her personal history, so we'll see.
Let's hear it for the moms. All right, I'm ready to listen to this, so play it for me. I'm gonna tune in. Let's jam out. All right, guys, welcome Cynthia's mom, or Fried Papita's mom. What's your mom's name?
My mom's name is Albertina Meza. Today we have an extremely special guest, someone really close to my heart, and we thought since Mother's Day just passed, we'd have my lovely mother on the show, and we're going to talk about a little about representation, immigrating from Mexico, and just generally questions that I feel like everyone kind of probably wants to hear. So everybody, I'd like to introduce my mom, Albertina Meza. Say hi.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hey, hey. So I guess this is round two. We recorded once, and it was like, let's drink more. So I guess let's start from where you're from. Where are you from, mommy?
Soy de el estado de Durango, de una pequeña ciudad. Es ciudad. Mm-hmm. Se llama Gómez Palacio, Durango, México.
Okay, but is that where you're really from? Or is that where you claim? Is that your step, mommy?
Es donde yo nací. Mm-hmm. But I grew up. Mm-hmm. All over the, I will say, the border states of Mexico with the United States.
Well, you lived Tamaulipas. In like, you lived in 15 places by the time you were 15, right?
Sí. And I never counted, but you counted. So
I was like, let's not go listing all of them. You told me it was 15 one time, and I believe you. So
I will be living in Reynosa, and then we'll go back to Torreón, which is Reynosa, Tamaulipas, Torreón, Coahuila, and then we go to the surrounds farms around.
So do you do you claim a place, or you just tell people where you're born?
I just tell people where I'm born, because it's too hard to explain how many states I've been living. States and cities, little towns, big cities. So I just say I'm from Durango. So De Gomez Palacio, Durango.
And you're like, that's...
Where I come from, Gomez, is next to... With Gomez is Durango, and then it's Lerdo, another little town is Durango, and this a big town is Torreon. That's Coahuila. And you go, you cross the bridge, and you are in another state, and it's called, the area is called La Laguna. So if somebody asks me, where are you from, who you are, I said, I'm Lagunera. and people, they know what the region is I'm talking about. So, soy Lagunera de Gomez Palacio.
Cool. And I have another question. When did you immigrate to the United States? When was the first time, or the last time, or whatever you want to share?
The first time, I think it was 1972, somewhere around that.
How did you come over?
I just, people who live in the border used to have a car to come across and shop. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people use the car to come across and work. A lot of people come and go every day. A lot of people stay. I used to stay in the beginning. I stayed for 3 weeks, which was a long time to be close up in a place for me that I love to be moving around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I did it.
What part did you immigrate to?
I came to a very little town called Rio Hondo, mm-hmm. Texas.
Oh, in the valley, right?
In the valley. The biggest town next to it is Harlingen. Mm-hmm. In those days, it was a really, really miniature town, Rio Hondo. Rio Grande is a little bigger. But Rio Hondo, and it would be like a suburban area of Harlingen, but it's what I used to
El be. Valle, right? El Valle.
El Valle. El Valle.
Is that what they call it over there on the other side? El Valle?
Yeah, El Valle. And we're so naive that we think we are the same. We have sister cities.
Sister cities. Okay, cities. There we go. Cities.
Valle Hermoso, the town that I used to live on, considered San Benito to be his sister city, because it's supposed to be across the border next to it. That's not true, but we always thought that way. It was our sister city. San Benito was our sister city.
And why did you immigrate? Why did you come to este lado?
It's because I needed to work. I went to school. I was an accountant, but I couldn't find jobs. So I had to go where the job was. It was not my dream job, but I make money. And I ended up making a little bit more money than the people who work in office. And
what did you do when you came over here?
I work in a house. I clean a house and take care of the kids. They were not little kids. They were in school, but I was there when they come back from school. So
you'd make them tacos and stuff like that. And they're a Latino family, right?
Yeah, they're Latino.
And unlike fifth generation or something, right?
The longest I know that they always live in the valley here.
So the border crossed them.
Yeah, the border crossed them. They had the grandmother of the kids that I used to take care of had a brother that would live in Rio Bravo, which now my sister lives. And, you know, they consider themselves Mexicans. They used to talk to me about they used to live in a little place in Harlingen. They used to call Little Mexico, which only Mexicans live. It's mm-hmm. what they call themselves, Mexicans. Mm-hmm. Now they call Mexican American, but in those days they said everybody called them Mexicans.
Oh, I mean, that's how Texas saw them, yeah. I guess.
And the lady, the mother of the kids that I used to work for, she used to talk to me about being sitting in the back of the classroom. Mm-hmm. You know, Mexicans always sit in the back. White people sit in the front.
They weren't allowed to speak Spanish, right?
They were not allowed to speak Spanish. And you go in the back of the town. Another guy used to tell me that just to, they always used to tell me a lot of stories, you know, that they have at this golf course that was only for white people. And when Mexican people start coming up, they wanted to be in the golf club. They couldn't say no to them, but what they did, they start getting out of the club, getting out of the golf club, and build another one just for white people.
Sounds typical. Did you ever, do you feel like you ever experienced racism on this side? More on this side?
Well, in the beginning, when I was in the Valley, I was just around Hispanic people, so it was not that. I knew a few people, and it's, I don't know if anybody else know, but we know that it's not that many blacks in the Valley. Mm-hmm. And they see blacks like a strange, rare animal, mm-hmm. because there's not that many African-Americans or blacks over there. Mm-hmm. So it's just really just Hispanic people and white people. And Hispanic people always work in service, always look down on them. So that's what they consider themselves better. When the Hispanic people that I knew, the families been there forever, they were 10, 20 generations when I know them. And I'm talking about.
So you never experienced racism in Valle, but mm-hmm. did you ever experience any just being in the United States?
Not in those days.
No, I'm not saying in those days. I'm saying generally speaking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, generally speaking, I have suffered a lot of, have a very hard encounters, you know. I've been jailed, illegal, went back, go back to your country. And I'm sorry to say, but most of those things are, the prejudice is different. The black people is the ones who have kicked me out of the steps of the bus. They told me, went back, illegal, go back to Mexico. Mm-hmm. And the prejudice that I have suffered for the whites, the ignorance, I mean, they always ignore me. Even if I'm the one who's talking to them and it's a white person next to me, they talk to the white person instead of talking to me when I am the one who's talking, the one who knows what we're talking about, but instead of,
it's like they don't even see you.
Yeah. Ask the question to me. They direct it to the white people, the white person next to me, even when she doesn't know what we are talking about. Mm. And this, really and truly, in the beginning when I came to the States, I didn't pay attention to those things. I didn't care because, you know, I don't care what they say. I just come to work and to do better for myself and whatever. As long as I have a job, I don't care about anything else. But you and your brother have really, you talk a lot about this, and that now I notice a lot of things, and they bother me. Things that they never used to bother me before because I didn't pay attention to them. Uh-huh. That I knew they were there, but you know, whatever, I don't care. Now I do care, and I notice, and especially the way that I am, that I notice every little thing.
Yeah, but like, I mean, we talk about racism in the United States, but I mean, it's kind of something you've always kind of experienced.
Yeah, racism, it's always been.
I mean, that happened in Mexico to you too. Yeah. Like, classism and colorism both were happening to you in Mexico.
That's why it was not that important to me, because it's always been kind of normal for me, because I was the worst thing that I could be in Mexico. I was poor.
And you're dark.
And dark. So, you know, even in my own family, is very prejudiced in color. And they will say something about, you know, somebody does this, and they will say, yeah, but he's white. Or they will say, oh, but she's so dark. And those things really bother me. I have a brother that's very, very dark. I'm white compared to him. And it's the one who was more like my mother's family, with their very light skin. My mother was blonde. And one time I said that it was the one who looked more like the family. And one of my uncles said, no, it doesn't. I said, yes, it does. And they said, no, it's too dark. I said, well, it doesn't matter.
You call out the colorism in your own family. Oh, you have. You've been doing that.
I always have. Because I think I've always been very aware of the prejudice, and I always call them out. I'm not a person to just take it that easy.
But, yeah, and I, that's what I noticed about our family in Mexico is that our family in Mexico, they're all light-skinned. They're all light-skinned Mexicans. We're the dark ones, and we're on this side. But it's like this joke we like to make. All the Weddles are on that side, and all the regular-looking indigenous folk are on this side. And every time we get together, they always say some backhanded bullshit. And I'm like, my dad is dark. Like, your dad is dark. Like, why are y'all even talking? What kind of conversation is being had right now? It's just, it really bothers me too. Because they're full of shit. And I call them out to their face, and they don't like that either. So we, but it is what it is. And I guess another thing I want to talk about was, like, do you think it's better in the United States than it is in Mexico as far as economically?
Economically, it is. Because, you know, the comment that I used to make, you know, I prefer to be poor in the United States than being rich in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Because even if you are poor, you live in an apartment, you have, you know, air conditioning, you have heater, you have gas.
Running water is so important. Water. That is so important.
And those things, you know, you when you poor in the United States, you think, you know, it doesn't matter. But then you go to Mexico and you realize, you know, they have a very nice house. They have a lot of things. But they don't have running water. I know you have to wait until night to get a little bit of water, to get a shower, more.
And I mean, and you really understand the struggle of being actually poor versus American poor, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, Mexico poor is like a whole different kind of feeling.
Yes, very, very different. And over here, you know, you don't have your house, but you can rent a more or less livable apartment. You can live. And by the way, we have roaches over there, and we have roaches over here. We don't bring them from Mexico. They were already here.
Oh, wow. Damn. Okay. All right. No, and I guess another thing I wanted to touch on was that, like, a lot of people immigrate here to, you know, for economic reasons, to take care of their family. And that's one of the reasons why you came over, right?
Yeah. I came over because I had a very nice job, very good job. But it was not making enough for to live by myself. I always live with my family.
Well, I mean, it's not just that. Like, you were funding them. You were funding everyone in your family. It's not that you couldn't live by yourself. You'd probably be fine if it wasn't you and if five other people you had to take care of. And that was your thing, is that you were basically the dad in your family.
Yeah. My brother, I always told him, this since I was in elementary school, you're going to go to college. I don't know how, but you're going to go to college. He's very smart, and he always did good in school, and I always thought it was worth it to help him. Whatever sacrifices that I make, it was going to be worth it. So he was already in high school, so I decided if I'm going to do something, better do it right now. And I did it. He went to college, so.
But that's why you came to this side.
I came to this side.
So. You came to this side so that you could put him through college in Mexico.
Yeah, because even, like I said, I have a good job over there. It was not enough. It was not enough to put anybody through college. It was not that.
It was just enough to get you and your five, your brothers and sisters and abuela, right?
My brothers. My sister was already married, so it was just my brothers and my mother.
That's pretty noble. You just wanted to keep that low key. You're like, no, I just came over here to...
Well, it's very noble, and it was a lot of sacrifice on my part, and in the beginning, and your part, you don't even know, but it's very normal in Mexico. It's another thing, you know, the older kid, whatever boy or girl, always takes care of the younger kids, and the mother and the father, and whatever you can. At least, and 80% of the people do it like that in Mexico, so it's pretty normal.
Did you have any fears coming to the United States? That anything, were you scared of anything when you came over?
No, because
you've seen it all in Mexico.
Yeah, I went through a lot of stuff, and I saw a lot of things in Mexico, and I was kind of naive, you know. I was in love with what is the guy that killed the wife?
What?
OJ Simpson. It was like, you know, I thought all black guys look like him.
Oh my god. You're like, oh, at least OJ's on that side.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know,
but this was before he murdered anyone, guys. This was the 70s, okay?
Yeah.
Before he murdered someone.
And even before, you know, we used to watch a lot of TV over there, but you just watch TV, you don't really know the life. You think whatever you see on TV, that's the life. You don't know how life is until you come and you see the constant, you see the people. It's not like it's on TV.
Well,
that's the difference.
I do want to bring that up though, because in your small town, in Vallehermoso, they didn't have TV that was in Spanish.
No, the TV that we have, we get it from the valley. So you only get shows on English. And the programs will start like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You don't have TV during the day. It was, in those days, you didn't have any transmission until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And you only watch American shows. You don't watch anything else.
Then Abuela used to watch, what's that white guy?
Oh, Johnny Carson?
Yeah.
Yeah, she used to watch Johnny Carson and she loved it. And one time I remember asking, do you understand what he says? He says, no, but he laughs very good. And I like the way he laughs. So she will laugh with him because she loves his laugh. So she will laugh with him.
That's hilarious. So we're going to switch gears. I kind of want to ask more about representation. And I guess I want to ask, since our podcast is based on like queer and Latinx representation or POC representation, and I guess I kind of want to hit upon, like, does that even matter to you?
Oh, TV?
Yeah.
No.
Do you need to watch people that are brown? Do you need to watch people that are Latinos that have an accent?
No. I like it when I see them.
Mm-hmm.
It feels good to have somebody.
I mean,
there.
You love Cristela. Like, of you course. Were dedicated to Cristela on Friday nights. You're like, it's on. We're watching it.
Yeah. You know, it's like I said, I didn't pay attention to those things before, but I think it mattered because when Cristela came on, I was the first one to watch it, and then I told your father, then I told you, you should watch it. Because it's Cristela, because she's Hispanic, and guess what? It's in Dallas, and set in Dallas, so you should watch it. And she talks a lot about the Cowboys, so you should watch it. And then it was, you know, always had that thing. I used to watch Raquel Welch. Mm-hmm. And I used to be very proud of the fact that she was Hispanic. I didn't get why did she change her name mm-hmm. until later, because I knew why.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew in those days that most of the movie stars changed their names,
mm-hmm.
no matter what extraction they were. But I was very proud of the fact that she was Hispanic. And, you know, she was the sex symbol of her time. And she was Spanish. Mm-hmm. And she was very famous all over the world. So
what do you think about the term Hispanic versus Latino? Does it matter to you?
It doesn't matter to me. I mm-hmm. mean,
but you're from a different time.
Yeah, it's a different
time. You're like, hey, at least you're not calling me wetback anymore.
Yeah. That's fine with me.
You're like, this is trash though.
And there's been times when I ask, well, what is the difference between Hispanic and
I'll tell you the Latino. Difference. Hispanic is it's anyone. A lot of people get this. They ask that question, and I always explain to them, like, Hispanic means that you're coming from Spain. Like, you're centering your whiteness when you say you're Hispanic. You're just kind of like ignoring the part of you that's indigenous. So
okay.
a lot of people refuse, like I refuse to use that term to describe myself. Hispanic is like the Republican way that Latinos would probably, it's not even like a real term. It's something that Republican Americans came up with to call Latinos as a all-encompassing term. We refuse that term. We say, fuck that term. We're going to use Latino and Latinx because Latino is centering the fact that you're indigenous, that you're, it's centering your Latin Americanness versus your colonized whiteness. So a lot of people, they, instead of describing themselves as Hispanic, now they describe themselves as Latinos. And Latinx, the X is just saying we're all inclusive of all genders, of all orientations, of people who don't, because, you know, a lot of people want to fight the whole, you know, Latino, everything's with an O, it's centered on, you know, males, centered on men, it's centered on the masculine, and they want to take away from that, and they want to say, fuck that, we're not gonna center the masculinity either, fuck that too, we're gonna just say we're all inclusive, we're gonna say we're Latinx. So we call ourselves a Latinx podcast for that reason, because we're gay, we're queer, you know, like, we don't necessarily like that term or the term Hispanic is like an outdated word at this point, but you're like, hey, that's an improvement. They ain't cussing me ass no yeah. more. So, hey, we chilling.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, it's not the opinion they have on me. Because as you might notice, I have a very high opinion on myself.
So yeah, we've discovered.
That's not, you know, that's not. I don't care what they think, but I always try to prove myself that, you know, this.
But do you feel like you have to do that because you're Latina?
I do,
and an immigrant.
I do think I have to prove myself because I know that a lot of people think because I'm Hispanic. It's the same idea that they have like 50 years ago, you know, the bracero people will come, the very poor people for the farms that will come and work. And they think all the people that immigrate after that, we were very poor, very ignorant. And there's not that way anymore. So, but I always have to speak to them in a level that they, oh, wow, she's not ignorant. Oh, wow, she's not.
You feel like you're constantly fighting a stereotype. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have told people, you know, they tell me you are not the Mexican like everybody else. And I have, my answer is, I am.
Yeah.
The thing is that you don't know the real Mexicans. The stereotype. That's what you know. I am the real Mexican.
Yeah.
Mexican.
And who gets to define that? Like, why are they defining that? And why are they only negative stereotypes? Like, fuck that. Like, anything's Latinx culture because you fucking say so.
You know, I hear the comment that I used to hear 30 years ago. And I hear it a few times. And until I really got really upset, there was no saying to me, but I hear it saying some other people. Mexican are dirty. Mexican are smelly. They don't take baths. Guess what? Yeah, they smell at the end of the day because they work very hard. And they take baths every day.
Because we clean in your house.
No. I mean, Mexicans in general. Because
it's a labor. Like the Latinos, yeah. The immigrants, they come over, they do a lot of labor. And labor is intense. Labor's outside. Labor's inside cleaning houses or taking care of their kids or being a caregiver. Like it's work that actually makes you sweat.
I know for a fact, a lot of white people, they don't take baths every day.
Oh, roast them, mommy, roast them.
So, you know, it's just the stereotype. You know, if a lot of Mexicans or Latins think that they're white because they take baths every day, it's not that way. Not everybody is.
Yeah, like that's a bullshit stereotype. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you see his pants dirty and have paint on it because, oh, well, he must be a laborer. He must work outside in construction doing something with, you know, painting. That's just duh. It's kind of obvious there. And I guess I wanted to ask more questions about, you know, media. Like, how did you learn English? I always like to tell people how you learned English.
Well,
what helped you learn English?
I learned English in Mexico.
You learned, you know, do you see see my hands? You see calm?
But,
like, you know,
it's a very different way that you learn it. A lot of times you learn it very, supposedly very correct. And you translate it literally, which is not that way it's supposed to be. You don't learn it until you're over here. You educate your ear. You know, the sounds.
And TV is what helped you do that.
And for me, it was mm-hmm. Sesame Street and The Price is Right. It's how I learned my numbers with The Price is Right. And I learned a lot of words and a lot of things in Sesame Street. I used to watch it every day. So, you know, and I started watching some shows that I really got into it, like 60 Minutes. I still remember to this day the first time that I saw an interview about the survivors of the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. That they were older people, that they were showing the numbers and the arms where they were branded for the Nazis. And I remember, not very demonstrative. I don't cry.
Oh, yeah. Easy. Yeah, you don't have feelings. You don't.
Okay. I don't show.
You don't show your emotions. Feelings.
And that day, to me, it was really, like they said in Mexico, impactante. Mm-hmm. To see an old grown man crying. And it's when I start paying attention to those kind of things. It's when I try to educate myself about the Holocaust, what it was, and all that. And that is thanks to 60 Minutes. It was a report that they were doing about survivors of the Holocaust. So next Sunday, I was sure that I was going to watch 60 Minutes. And I learned, and I used to take the dictionaries, but they have
encyclopedias.
Encyclopedias, mm-hmm. And always at the end of the encyclopedia, in the back, they will have some kind of story, a book, bridge book, and I used to learn, read it. I will read like the whole book, and I will understand 1/3. But I will go back because I always like to read in Spanish. You know, I will get the thread of the story, and I kind of put 2 and 2 together. So that word probably means this.
So you taught yourself English by watching TV and reading books.
Mm-hmm. Encyclopedia. Mm-hmm. I used to read the encyclopedia. I used to read a lot of books. I read a lot of books and on days that they were rich. Mm-hmm. And over the years, I read the whole book because, you know, I read half of the book. And half of that book, I understood 1/3 of that half. So over time, I read those books when I know more English and mm-hmm. when I can understand better. I understand the story, but a lot of things just by the side because I didn't know enough English to understand the whole story.
No, yeah. And that makes sense. That helps you learn more. And I guess what's your favorite show? What do you enjoy watching? What's your favorite show?
I like a lot of mysteries. Mm-hmm. I like to figure out who done it.
So Law and Order, basically. So you like everybody else, just like watching Law and Order.
Yeah, I do. And I used to watch all of them, all the Law and Orders that there were in the days.
Do you have a favorite show right now?
Right now, no, not really.
Nothing?
No. I right now I'm watching a lot of retro TV, watching the shows and
from the 70s
digital channels that are, you know, for the 70s and the 80s. Mm-hmm. And some of the shows I used to watch
in the 70s and 80s.
I used to, one of the shows that I used to watch every day, there was the Diana Shore show, which is no a clue. Talk show.
No clue.
It was at 12 noon. So I will be pressing or doing something, so always in front of the TV because I have to watch it. And so I remember in Mexico watching all the protests and all the things that were going on in San Francisco, which are also another thing that really impacted me mm-hmm. because, you know, it was the AIDS, when the AIDS started coming out and all the protests because they were not, government was doing nothing to help him, and they were saying, you know, this is just
during the AIDS crisis in the 80s.
Yeah.
What was that like? And were you in Mexico or were you in the United States?
I was in Mexico.
How was the reaction over there?
Oh, no, they didn't pay that much attention, you know, not everybody, because in those times it was already some TV, so you didn't have to watch in like it's over here, you know, a lot of Latin people watch the Spanish channels, you know?
Sure, mommy.
Yeah. They watch the Spanish channels. Uh-huh. And so you have one channel in Spanish they were watching instead of watching the channels in English. And I used to still watch the channels in English. And mm-hmm. it's when I used to remember.
What did you think about it?
I thought it was, you know, I had this thing about, oh, you know, you have to help the poor people, because since I'm the poor people, I always and poor people, I don't mean just economically. I mean the people, they need something.
People marginalized in society, because you were definitely marginalized in society.
So I understand the feeling. So it was very, to me, like, because they were saying, no, government is doing nothing. It's not helping. And I remember hearing comments about saying, oh, well, this a gay people disease. Mm-hmm. It's not that. And then they come out, a little boy, like 10, 11 years, that he come out with
AIDS.
And that was a big to do, because we didn't know. And in United States, they didn't know what it was. You know, people were afraid to touch it, because if you touch it, you will get it. And then that little boy educated a lot of people, because, you know, he got it because a transfusion, a blood transfusion. Because it was, he had that disease that...
Sickle cell or something like that. Yeah.
No, the blood doesn't...
No, yeah, he had a sickness. Yeah, he had a sickness.
And then he got it over a transfusion. He got some blood for somebody that was sick. And then that, they changed a big thing. He went through a lot of stuff.
No, I guess, like, how did your perception of gay people change from the 80s till now?
I don't know, because I think I always known gay people all my life. Mm-hmm. And I have one outfit that I have many times over that I've make one gray pair of pants and one pink top. I always make that at different times of my life. I always have that outfit, gray pants and pink shirt. I have it right now.
Okay, but what do you mean? What is that?
And that to me is, I remember I was in elementary school, mm-hmm. and I remember walking on one street and seeing this person coming with that outfit, mm-hmm. and I remember seeing, I said, oh, I love that outfit. The pink color is so pretty with that gray. And you know, we coming in different directions until we finally got together, and it was a gay guy. Mm-hmm. He had that wonderful outfit. I said, those gay guys have the best outfit in the world. So to me, it was like, hey, they have a very good taste, you know. And then because...
So you're always in contact with queer men.
Yeah, I knew some women, not that many. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to me, it was the same to know
you're, gay boys. Yeah, gay you, were, men. You were marginalized, so you understood their position in society, too. You're like, well, I'm poor and broke, and I'm dark, and...
And because...
Same thing. You're like, I'm on the outskirts.
I knew a lot of gay guys. I knew. I talked to them. I know what kind of person they were. I learned early in my life that the people. Mm-hmm. And people are people, good and bad. And it doesn't matter what the sexual preference. It doesn't matter. It's always, you know, there's some of them that know. I know one that it was a spoiled brat and nobody liked him because it was...
He was just a jerk.
Carlitos.
Oh, damn.
And his name was Carlos.
Oh, wow.
He's Carlos. His name is Carlos. Yeah. Wow. And it was the son of the owner of the business that I was working. And everybody hated him because...
Jerks are jerks, right?
It was a jerk.
Jerks are jerks. Doesn't matter.
It was the stereotype that you have the gay guys, you know, the tantrum guy. And but I used to talk to him like regular person. And he will talk to me and he will never make a scene. And we argue about different things. But in a good way. So, and everybody used to say, how can you talk to him? And she's so spoiled and so mean and rude with everybody. It's not that way with me, because I never treated any other way.
Yeah, you never treat him different.
You know, it was normal to me. And you're going to make a scene, that's your problem. That's not my problem.
And that's what I find interesting. And a lot of people, because I don't know any different. I just know you, and I've always known that to be normal. But a lot of other people... They don't have that same experience where their parents are like cool and open. And well, you were exposed to queer people early on because of Awela's profession or whatever, yeah. And for what she did and for who she did it with, like, that's why. Mm-hmm. And so for you, you've just been exposed. Do you feel like maybe if a lot of people were just more exposed?
Yeah, I think a lot of the problem is ignorance. You mm-hmm. know, they don't know. Mm-hmm. They think because they're gay, they're different, you know. And I work
You've worked
lately. I work with
you,
gay people.
You've always worked for queer people, yeah. From what I can understand. Gay, queer women, queer men. You've always worked for them. We grew up surrounded by them, and we were just completely. It was so normal. We were around Jews and queers, and and everyone marginalized in society is the people we've always been surrounded by, yeah. And it's not like. It's not an abnormal thing.
But since you were little, you learned, you know, they're just people.
People are people. They're I mean, people of course, I would know that people, yeah. Are just people. But
but that's what you learned, that they're not different than anybody else.
Yeah, I'm not different from anybody else.
No. It's just, you know, you mean and rude. That's you. That's nothing to do with your sexual preference or your color or you.
I guess
I do anything.
I guess
like
I don't want you to speak for all like mothers or anybody, but like, what kind of advice would you give to kids that aren't quite accepted by their parents, if you have any, and not to speak for everyone, just from you.
For myself, you know, you be your own self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for my way of thinking, for my way of seeing things, they're your parents, and. Sometimes, a lot of times, when the first they come out, parents are in shock,
mm-hmm.
because they refuse to see what they were in front of the eyes, mm-hmm. because you can see it. I mean, everybody, if they want to see it, they can see it.
Yeah.
Okay? But, you know, people sometimes don't want to see it because it's not what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, a lot of over time, people see things different, but you cannot force your parents either.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot force them to accept you. They accept you there, and sometimes you have to give her time. Most of the time, you have to give her time, and don't try to change him, but don't change yourself. You just be yourself. You know, you cannot change anybody else. The only person you can change is yourself. Mm-hmm. But you cannot change yourself to fit anybody else's idea of what you're supposed to be. That's not good either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, just be yourself. And for my perspective, you know, I prefer anything than to lose the relationship that I have with my kids. So I will take anything. I'm not going to lose my kids for anything.
Yeah.
That's not.
And that's rare. Like, not a lot of people are not a lot of parents are that unselfish. You know, we're like, they're like, oh, I'm not going to make you coming out about me, which a lot of Latino families, they make it about them.
This, you know, we come to the same thing. It's about what you, mm-hmm. and I told you this before, because to me, my life, nothing come out the way that I plan it to be, because I decided my life, my family life is going to be very different the way that I grew up. Surprise, surprise. I don't have control over everything. And it's the same thing for the Hispanic, the Latino people, that they have this idea what life is, what normal is.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to adapt. We need this not our normal anymore. This is our new normal.
Mm-hmm.
But they always have to include your own family. You cannot, you know, my relationship with my brothers is one thing, and my relationship with you is very different.
Well, yeah, we're your children.
My kids, very different. So if my brothers and sisters don't want to talk to me, that's fine. I don't give a penny or lose sleep over that. But with you, it's different. You're my kids. You're my blood. So that's a very different thing. And I think most of the parents, I have this idea. Okay, most of the parents are like that. And a lot of...
What if they're not?
Well, what if they're not? There's nothing that you can do. Mm-hmm. It's out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
Just be yourself, and maybe, you know, if they don't accept you, you have to accept them the way they are and try to live your life. I know some gay people that they told me, you know, I wish my parents were like you.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't come... When we come out, my parents didn't accept us. They still to this day that we still know.
And they're older men. They're in their 50s, 60s, yeah. Right? And they were still not accepted by their family members.
No, they still don't. They go and visit, but you know, you're here today, can you, what time are you leaving? You know, this, they did open the door, but they're just waiting for them to leave. Because
what's your opinion on parents like that?
I think they're selfish. Mm-hmm. I think they think about themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I'm seeing right now with this lady that I'm taking care of, and I see a lot of older people, you know, it comes a time that nothing else matters. The only thing that matters is your family. Mm-hmm. And then you have to work at it. You have to work at it. And if you don't work at it, it comes a time that you're going to regret it. Sooner or later, you're going to regret it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes because you're so selfish that you want your people, your family around you because you're alone. And sometimes because you realize, I know a lot of older people. Mm-hmm. I know a family that one of the girls come out as gay. And their parents, their brothers and sisters were, you know, oh my God, how can she do that to us? But that's how they put it. How can you do that to us?
How dare you be yourself, right?
And the only person that was more accepting and the one who talked to the mother and the father, and she told her, you need to talk to your kids, was the grandmother. Mm. You know, it's third generation, and she was more accepting than the parents and the siblings. And to me, it's like, you know, because you're older, because you see things different, because when you're young, nothing bad is going to happen to you, and you have everything under control. You're so high and mighty. You can do anything and everything. As you get older, you realize it's not that way. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people say because they're religious, you know. Mm-hmm. And the Bible is not, well, in the Bible is a lot of stuff they never put in the Bible. And they was in another book, they didn't put it in the Bible either. So, you know, it's, everybody puts things down the way they want it to look.
Yeah, everyone perceives their own truth differently. Yeah. And they're choosing to perceive some kind of bullshit-ass truth so they don't have to accept their kids because they don't want them to be that way. Yeah. And it's like, that's bullshit. Like,
and it's a lot of people they have speak against gay, and you know, they're against. But then they turn out that son or the daughter comes gay, and they change. Now they're my best friends, and I love gays. Because, you know, they can talk a lot because when it's nothing close to them.
Yeah.
But when it's close to them, everything changes. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of people, and I know a lot of people because they're so religious, and you know, God. And I'm, my way of thinking, you know, is God doesn't make mistakes. Mm. So.
You know what you're reminding me of? You just sounded a lot like Rita Moreno's character in One Day at a Time. Well, God doesn't make mistakes.
No, it doesn't.
Fun fact, me and my mom got drunk and watched and binge watched One Day at a Time in like a Friday night like this. We just got drunk and drank champagne and watched that. And I thought that was really special. And I do want to talk about how, like, do you feel like that show, like, did anything for our relationship? Like, did you feel like you, oh, okay, I kind of get her. Like, Cynthia's kind of, like, I'm kind of like the daughter, but you're kind of like abuela. Like, I'm more like the granddaughter and you're more like abuela. And I, to me, it's important to see myself. And I see a lot of you in Rita Moreno's character. Like, she's old school, but she's not.
But see, yeah, because she knows she's very accepting. She was the one. She wanted the quinceañera, you know, the whole tradition. And then she realized she's not going to be happy. Mm-hmm. Even when she's told them that she was gay, she still wanted the dress. The yeah. Grandmother.
And there's in the very, we're talking about the very last episode of One Day at a Time. The first season. The daughter, Elena's having a quinceañera, and she just come out to her abuela, and she said, you know, her abuela keeps, you know, insisting that she has to wear a dress. So at the very end, the abuela makes her a pantsuit.
out of the dress made for her.
Yeah, she switched it. And that was kind of like a really huge, like, you know, guys don't understand, like, in Latino families, like, you know, your abuela or whoever makes your dress or whoever tells you, there's this cultural norm that you have to be feminine. And that was huge because Elena was refusing that. And it at the same time, they found some kind of middle ground in that episode. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really neat. I thought that was really, really, really cool because it's not something you see a lot, is like kind of like, you know, a Latina refusing to be feminine and wear lipstick. And that's, it was revolutionary for me and Maite. Mm-hmm. Like, we were like, oh, wow, this is one of our favorite shows ever.
Mm. The last one.
I mean, the entire season. The entire season. We binge watched the second season, right?
Yeah.
And we binge watched the first season. Like, it's probably, to me, it's that thing we share. But mm-hmm. yeah, so. What did you think about One Day at a Time?
I like it. You know, when I started watching it, when you told me about it, I thought it was going to be like the original, because I used to watch the original.
The original Norman Lear. Yeah.
And in a way it is. It's about family and it's about the, you know, the...
They tackle a lot of current events.
But yeah.
Well, how do you feel like they represented Latino culture One Day at a Time? I mean, I'm not saying that it had to be like, it's not, no experiences, you know, the same. Being Latino doesn't mean the same thing for everybody else. But what did you think? They were getting a lot of criticism for a lot of things, which I didn't see it. I love it. It's one of my favorite shows ever. So what do you say to that?
Well, we'll go back to the same thing, the stereotype.
Mm-hmm. So, well, they were getting criticism for like the accents, like for you know, not being their very specific like Latino American experience. They were getting slack for like La Abuela being too flamboyant. I personally really liked her being flamboyant. I really liked her accent.
We know a lot of flamboyant people that they're Latino, so that
I mean,
we know that it, they
I'm
are
looking people. At you right now.
I'm not that flamboyant.
So, okay. All right. Sure. And the accent, they're giving Rita Moreno a lot of slack because that's not her actual accent, but to me, I think accents are beautiful. I think your accent is beautiful. Like, they're realistic to me. Like, people have accents. Get over it. Like, who cares? Like, wow. How
what
dare...
What did that mean that it was not her real accent?
Because you know how she puts on that accent. Uh-huh. She's like, I talk like this because that's how my mom talks.
But there's the real accent.
And that's a real accent. Like,
it's Puerto Rican. It's different.
Well, and then that's another thing. They're saying, oh, well, they're not all Cuban, like they're Puerto Rican, most of them, or you know, South American. And does that, I mean, to me it doesn't matter as long as they're acting, you know. I would like it if it would have been all Cubans, you know, that would have been very, very, very authentic. But at the same time, they're not portraying it disrespectfully either. They're not, it's, they don't feel like caricatures of Cubans. They feel like real lived in people. Did you have any kind of like issue with any of that? I didn't.
I just love it because, you know, a lot of the things that they portray in the show, they're real. I mean, the families, you know, all the difference between the families, and it's always some member of the family that's Maori, and it's always, you look at the families, it's always somebody like that, mm-hmm. you know, maybe more people than, because they were very small family they were, but you know, families are very different. You find anything in one family, you find any kind of person, any kind of, and everybody's different. And they are flamboyant. They are, you know, we know a lot of people that they're Latino in the States and in Mexico that they're very flamboyant.
Yeah, Latinos being flamboyant, shocking, right? Like what? Like, how dare we?
It's just not. It's not, you know, it's the same thing that they did to this other girl, the show that we used to watch.
Cristela.
They did the same. They didn't think it was the real family.
Oh, yeah.
Because the stereotype that they have, the family, is not what they were portraying, you know. But this is all kinds of families. They don't want to accept that we are different.
Yeah, no, and with that, I do want to end, and thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for chopping it up with me, drinking some Malibu and Tampico with me. I'm not quite as drunk as I want to be, but that's
fine.
By
the way, I'm not drunk.
No, she's not, and neither am I either.
I don't need to be drunk to speak.
Okay, but
I love
no, we understand that, but I'm just saying you are drinking some Malibu
and
some Tampico.
Yeah,
we just, you know, we out here. But yeah, so, you know, I just want to say Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Okay. Happy Mother's Day, Mommy.
Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Can they listen to this podcast? And thank you for listening.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
We.
Says the fly.
So, yeah, thanks so much for being on the show, Mommy. So, let's get back to Maite. Let's see what she has to say. Okay. All right. So welcome back to the end of the segment. So, yo, Maite, what's up? How do you feel?
I feel like a new woman. I feel learned. I feel real good. Real good. No, I'm so happy to hear this story. I think, you know, I'm over here. I'm 2,000 miles away from my mom right now. So it's like, it's really cool to hear your mom's story and hear how close you guys are and all that stuff. Like that was really on, you know, a great thing to hear today. Because for me today, it is American Mother's Day. Thursday was when I wished my mom a happy Mother's Day because that was Mexican Mother's Day.
Yeah, Mexican Mother's Day, of course. We celebrate both of those in my house, so yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're Mexican and American.
Mexican-American, they get spoiled on 2 days, but yeah, so. Yeah, it's just mom, you know? Like.
It was such an interesting, like, I was honestly cracking up at the OJ thing. Like, I was laughing. My guy, I was laughing. And your mom is so crush. she's so smart too. Like I loved, like she's just an intelligent woman, and like I it was great to hear from her. It was really good to hear her story. I hope everybody else enjoyed that story. I know I did, and it was worth the hour that it took to play.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, it's fairly long. I apologize.
But no, there's a lot to say. I mean, it's hard to make it so short, you know.
Yeah. So, that was my mama bear, you guys. That was Fried Papita's mom. And you kind of, I don't know, she's so open and she's so willing to learn. And it doesn't matter how old you are, she's always learning something. Like, she's learned the difference between Latinx and Hispanic, like, on air. So, she's open to
things.
That was
so cool. Like, yeah, that was super cool. She was saying Hispanic and, you know, it's fine. Like, it's not, like, the biggest deal. And then just hearing her be like, well, Latinos, you know what I mean? Because so that's really cool. That was really cool to hear on air.
Thanks so much for listening today, you guys. Make sure to subscribe to the Patreon. Maite, what's that? You can just find the Patreon on our website. You can find it by going to our Twitter. Make sure to rate, subscribe, follow on iTunes. We love reviews. We love it makes our entire lives better and our existence better. And if you write a review on iTunes, we definitely will send you a sticker. Please follow us on the Twitters at CYC Podcast, right? Did I do it right?
Yes. And then also on Instagram at CYC Podcast. We try to post on most days. And our Patreon is patreon.com/CYC Podcast. We have some really cool episodes up there. Shout out to all our patrons. And we also have a Facebook. You can find that at CYC Pod. And our website is cabronasychingonas.com. And that has everything. Like, that has all our links, iTunes, Spotify, our personal stuff, our emails, everything. So you can just go on there. You can even listen on there if you want to. And, yeah, so leave us a review. That helps us more than anything. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes, thanks, you guys. Appreciate it. And have a really fucking awesome week. And hug a random mom that you love. Any
or a person that raised you. I know not everybody is like, you know, that fortunate. Or
no, just hug a woman who you love, you know. a femme identifying person,
for sure.
Yeah, just someone who raised you, or someone who's femme in your life that helped raise you, or just anyone. Love is love, guys. Spread it. We need more of it.